So this morning we were talking about how we should seek after the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him, and we will see greater things than these. And we asked the question, you know, can God use this? You know, we have to ask that question. Can God use me? Can God, you know, he knows my weaknesses and my failures and my life. Can he possibly use me to bring someone else into the kingdom? How do we do it? Like, how do we get used by God? What's the answer to this question? Well, Jesus kind of answers the question for them straight away in the next breath almost in the Bible, in the book of John. And it says, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 11. And we have something to learn here from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto him, unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worst. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus of Cana of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for not leaving these questions that are in our mind unanswered. And Lord, you make it very simple for us, and we want to know, Lord, how is it possible for you to work in our lives? How do you work through us? And so, Lord, we want you to answer that question for us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so it says the third day. Remember, John the Baptist saw him, it says in verse 35 of chapter 1, again the next day, the second day, and he met with Simon Peter and Philip and Nathaniel. And then it says here in the first verse, and the third day, in other words, it's one after the other like that, and he was called to a marriage, and the disciples, which had started to follow him now, came with him. And they were wondering, you know, what are the greater things here? You know, they have these same questions that we would have in our minds. Can God use us to do great things? How does this work? And he is at the marriage. The people run out of wine for the guests that have come, and they're not sure what they're going to do. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, she knows, knowing she kept all these things in her heart. The Bible says that Jesus was different, that he was the Messiah, that he was going to bring salvation to the people. She comes to him and says, they've got a problem. There's no wine for the feast. He answers her the way he always answers her in the Bible and always speaks of Mary. You know, because people like to lift her up, and every time in the Bible she is lifted up, he puts her back down again. And it's not being disrespectful or anything like that, but he's just trying to show us that she's not the head here. It's not the mother-son worship, it's the son worship. Amen? And so every time someone said, oh, blessed are the womb which bore thee and the paps which thou hast sucked, he'd say, no, blessed are they that hear my word and keep it. Amen? So he was always trying to push the emphasis away from Mary and put it on him. And here he does it again. She comes to him and says, there's no wine. And he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? My time hasn't come yet. You know, you're forcing something that shouldn't be done yet, and yet still he's obedient, you could say, and does as she asks. And she tells the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Okay, they're the best words that we can say to, say you know someone who's Catholic. You say, you know the words of Mary? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Amen? It's amazing. I saw this, reading a book, a testimony of a young street preacher, which said these things because people were throwing rocks and stones at him and saying, and they were rejecting him. And he said, look, you all love Mary, right? And they said, yes, yes, yes. And he said, well, hear the words of Mary. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do. You know? So do what Christ says, just as she told you to. You know? And what do they say? You know? So this is it's an excellent verse for that kind of thing. So the servants who are standing there, they see these water jugs that are prepared, water pots, and Jesus begins to tell them what to do. He says, fill the water pots with water. What do? They fill the water pots with water, right? Draw out now and give it to the governor of the feast. What do? They draw it out. All right? And what we see here is these people, these servants, whom the disciples were looking upon because they saw all of this and heard all of these things, the servants simply did what Jesus told them to do. Amen? They obeyed. They did exactly what he said. They didn't add to it. They didn't subtract from it. Whatever he said, they did it. Okay? Fill the pots. They fill them to the brim. Draw it out now. Give it to the governor. They did it. They drew it out. They simply obeyed the words of Christ. And what happened? They took part in the first miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So how can God work through you? How can God do a miracle through you? Do exactly what he says. Amen? How simple is that? We can just shut the Bible now. We're finished. That's the message. You know? So what happens? This is the problem. Why don't we see the miracles? Why don't we see the greater things? It's pretty simple, isn't it? We don't do exactly what he says. We don't do exactly what he says. Now these men were completely unaware that they were about to take part in a miracle. They were simply doing their job, and God used them to perform. And it says here in verse 11, to manifest forth his glory, to show how great he was, to do something that other people were not able to do. And really, if you think about it, Jesus or God, he creates water out of wine out of water every year, everywhere, all over the world. Okay? He uses a vine and it sucks the water out of the ground and it pumps it up through the plant and into the fruit, and there in the grape is the grape juice, which when it's fermented turns into wine. It's something that happens naturally in God's creation. He doesn't create wine, by the way. God doesn't create wine. He creates grape juice. Men create wine by not drinking it straight away. So he does that all the time with the vine. What he did here was he basically made wine out of water without the vine. That was the miracle. He shortcut the process and he just said, no, it's boom, done. It's finished. What I've noticed in the Bible is that when God does something, it's usually very abrupt and or sudden, and it remains forever. When God enters into history, it changes history and it never goes back to what it was. He said, let there be light. Boom. There was light. Never, it's never gone back the other way. He waits for the proper time, and then, boom, something happens that can never be reversed. And in the salvation of a soul, that's what happens. A person can hear the gospel, and he can think about it, and he can contemplate it, and he can try to reject it, or, you know, and he's umming and ahhing and wondering, should I receive Christ? Should I not receive Christ? Is it worth it? Do I count the cost? What's happening here? And then in a moment, the Bible says he puts his faith in Christ and boom, he's born again, changed from the inside out, never to return to what he was. It's a work of God. And if God does something, it remains. And so we can enter into a miracle, enter into the work of God simply by doing exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ says, by obeying his commands. And this is the grassroots Christianity. Okay, this is the lowest form of Christianity. But what it is the whole Christian life should be that of obedience to Christ every day. And if we can just learn to obey every day, then we have this abundant life, because Christ is trying to do something upon the earth, and he wants to use us, but he can't use us unless we obey. We have to do exactly what he says. So he teaches us this simple principle, and it says in verse 11, and his disciples believed on him. They begin to see what Christ was able to do simply by being obedient to him. Later on, the disciples get a chance to do the same thing. He says, he sees the multitudes and he says, go and feed these people. What? Lord, you know, not even 200 penny worth of bread could feed such a multitude. We don't have the money for that. We have nothing. What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And he told them this to try them, to test them, to see whether they would believe. And they said, well, what do you have? That's a very important question. What do you have? Well, we have 7 loaves and 2 fish. That's it. That's all we have. Give it to me. He blesses it. He breaks it. And what did he say? Tell everyone to sit down in 50s and 100s. Take the baskets. Take what I give to you and give to them. And then afterwards collect what's left over. That were the simple commands that Christ gave to them. They did exactly what he said. And what happened? They fed everyone and they had 12 baskets of fragments left over. And he's trying to teach them, look, we'll never have need of anything. If you just do exactly what I say, boom, we can supply the needs of the people that are around us. Just do what I tell you. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to think it out logically. Is it possible? You know, let me do the numbers. Oh, no, God, that doesn't work, you know. God once says, give a tithe, and you go, oh, how does someone live better on 90% than on 100%? How does that work? Mathematically, doesn't work. But then when you do it, you go, wow, I have left over. Amen? I have left over because he blesses and he does things in our life that enable us to be able to save, to use the money wisely. And so everything that, you know, the Bible teaches us is simple, is simple obedience by faith. He tells us to do things which logically don't work. But when we do it, it works. Amen? He tells us to love our enemies. What? Love our enemy? You mean that neighbor that's always throwing their rubbish over the fence? You know, that never wants to listen, always turn the music up, and, you know, I have to love him? No, I hate him. You know, he annoys me. No, 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 you love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully, you know, abuse you and use you. Lord, How does that work? Just be nice. Just go over there and ask them if they need any help, or just love them. And you go and do it. And just watch what God can do. You know, and this is the thing which we have to learn in the Christian life. Simple obedience by faith. You don't have to understand everything. You have to obey everything, right, that he says. So this is, how do we enter into a miracle? How do we enter into the work of God? How can God use us? Simply by doing exactly what he says. Whatsoever he saith unto you, what's the answer? What's the next? Do it. Do it. Very easy. Very simple. And so we have to be praying, Lord, help me to obey. Help me to do what you say. Help me to read it and then do it. Read it and do it. You know, sometimes we read things and we go, okay, all right. I wonder what he really means. Is it, so we come to the pastor and we say, Pastor, like, I have a question. You know, when it says, do this, it says, what did he mean by that? You know, what was he really trying to say? Because, you know, when you just read it like that, it kind of sounds a bit hard to do. And he obviously meant something else, right? He meant that you're supposed to, I don't know, maybe in a spiritual way or something. You know, maybe, is there some way that we can kind of twist this around a little bit so that it's a little bit easier, so that we don't have to do exactly what he says? We do that. So must be, I don't quite understand it, Pastor. So, well, what does it say? Something like, love your enemies. Okay, what do you think is, what do you think it means? I don't understand, we say. I don't understand what does it say? It says love. Okay, yeah, loving. Yeah. Do you love your kids? Yep. Yeah. You love your wife? Yep. You love your mum? Yeah. You love brothers and sisters in Christ? Yeah. Love your enemies. I don't understand. You know? Can't possibly mean that. So we try to twist things and maneuver things, and so we don't have to do exactly what he says, but we have to be obedient to him. The New Testament's full of things that we should do. I know people in the world, they say, you know, when we get to heaven, our good works will be weighed with our bad works, you know, and if the good works are more, then God says, okay, you can come in, you know, and people hope with this problem, you know, because they think, oh, you know, good and bad, obviously one weighs out the other, you know, and if there's more good, then that'll be okay. And that there's a problem, you know. You see the law of God here, and the law of the country, or something like that, and you think to yourself, does it say anywhere there, if you do these things, or if you don't do these things, you'll be rewarded? Is there any reward for doing what the Bible, what the law says? There's no reward, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do. When you do good, you're supposed to do that. That's supposed to be assumed that you would do the good thing, not that you would do the bad things that are written there. You know? So the law doesn't reward good behavior. Have you noticed that? No one gets called before the judge and he goes, well, you've done so well. Here's $10,000. We just happen to have $10,000 over here that we took from some other guy who did something wrong, and he paid a fine, and you did so well, you can have the $10,000. No, it doesn't work like that, does it? You know, when you go to stand before the judge, and a doctor who may have saved thousands of lives decides he's going to kill someone, and he stands before the judge doesn't go, well, you know, you saved 1,000 lives. Yeah, we can let this slide, you know, it's fine. You know, you can kill 999 people, and we'll just keep on letting you off because you've saved 1,000. You know, that never happens. Because the law condemns the evil. It doesn't reward the good. Okay? So when Jesus says to us, when you've done everything that you've been asked to do, say to yourself, you're an unprofitable servant because you did what you were asked to do. You did what you were supposed to do. There's no... You did what you should have known to do good. You should have done it anyway. You know? So we barely do what we should do, rather than we're told to go the extra mile, do more than what God asks you to do. We barely do what He tells us to do, let alone do the next to be kind of profitable to Him. Yeah? When He says, here's your talents, you bury them under a rock somewhere. So no, I won't use those things, Don't want to use it wrong. Don't want to kind of make a mistake. So I'll hide it over here and I can sit down and be comfortable and everything will be okay. God says, what are you doing? I gave you a talent. I gave you a gift. You're supposed to be using that. You're supposed to be doing something. Use it. Use what I gave you. And we can, through fear and through many different lack of faith, we can disobey God by not doing the things which He wants us to do. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which were before ordained that we should walk in them. There are things that God wants you to do with your life. You can't do them unless you obey. You have to do exactly what He says. And, we talk about knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And knowledge is knowing what you should do. And understanding is knowing how. And wisdom is knowing when. Knowing what, how, and when. When's the appropriate time? When's the moment that God has prepared for me to do those things? Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. I know what I should do. I probably usually know how to do good. But when's the proper time? When's the proper time to do this? Is it now? Is it later? When should I do this good thing? But then we learn from the Bible that wisdom is not enough. And there was one man who was full of wisdom. He still disobeyed God. Still fell. Still didn't do it. Wisdom is not enough. We need it, but we need something more than wisdom. We need that simple faith obedience. That obedience. We need wisdom and faith mixed together, that God might be able to use us. The Jews were full of zeal without knowledge. Yeah, we need to be full of zeal with knowledge. Amen? Knowing what God wants us to do and doing it. So we go back to before. What are you seeking after? You're seeking after Christ. You seek after Him. You learn of Him, as He says, learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. My commandments are not grievous, they're not hard to do. And He says, follow me, do as I would do. Be obedient, and you'll see greater things than these. How, Lord? How will you be able to use us? He says, whatever I tell you to do, do it. We know these things. We know them. But we don't do them. And so there's something, the problem lies within the heart. The Bible says our heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And then in the next verse, it tells you who knows it. Amen? Don't you love that? Who can know the heart of man? Oh. And it says, God, you're the one that holds the reins. You're the one that knows the heart of man. You can search the heart. You can find what's in there, and you can reveal it to us. And I found in my life that God is very he's very skilled at being able to bring people into our lives that reveal something in our heart that we didn't know was there. We think we've got it all together. Woo! I'm happy. Everyone's my friend. I've got everything going here. Everything's peaceful. You know, all this kind of stuff. Someone new comes to church and he's kind of different. Someone he'd never kind of met before, that kind of character, that kind of personality. And he kind of just rubs you up the wrong way a little bit, just a little. Oh, I don't like that guy. You know? What's wrong with him? Oh, I just don't like the way he does his hair. Or, you know, something. So he just brings someone in your life that just a little bit off what you're kind of used to, just to show you that you haven't quite got it all together just yet. You know, now you have to learn to love this guy. And then he brings someone else in your life that's hard to love. And you go, Lord, I have to love him as well. Yeah, you have to love him as well. Okay? And you cannot be like Christ until you learn how to love that person. Because he loved him. And he saved him. And he's the child of God. And that means that Christ loves him and loves him. Right? So if you can't get on with him, you have a problem. You have the problem. Because, and until you learn to love that person and their idiosyncrasies and the little things that kind of knock you, okay, you cannot be like Christ. You have to love him like Christ loves him. And God does it all the time. Just brings in someone, just the kind of person that you don't like. You didn't know that you didn't like that kind of person, but now you do. And so you go, all right, Lord, I need to love how to learn him. Learn how to love him. Amen? And God is excellent at that kind of thing. He reveals stuff in our hearts that we didn't know was there. You know? And he does that through people and does it through trials and tribulations. I've got it all together. All of a sudden something falls and you go, you know, shakes your world and you're thinking, oh, what am I going to do? And you get all grumpy and upset and troubled and things like that, and you begin to see something wrong in here, something that needs to be changed, something that needs to be given up, maybe forfeited, maybe relinquished, you know, to give that thing up in my life. You know? This is how God works in our hearts. Everyone helps everyone else to learn how to love and to learn how to follow Christ and to live by faith. And we all need each other, even the ones that we don't quite get on with. We need to learn how to get on with each other. Amen? You know? I'm sure it says something else in there. Are you sure that's what it means? It must be. Is that what God really means to say? Yeah, that's what he means. If you can't love him, then you're not like him. You're not like Christ. What book tells you about that? There's one book in particular that talks about the relationship between you and Christ and you and your brother and how interlocked they are. 1 John. How can you say you love God who you can't see and you can't love the guy that's standing right in front of you? Okay? So here we go. This is part of the whatever he tells you to do, do it. Okay? And you know, these are difficulties that are real that come up in our lives. But God is trying to change us into his image. That's his purpose in us. We're predestined to be conformed into his image. The moment we received Christ as our Savior, he said, you will be like Christ. That's your destiny. It's been written down. That's what you'll be. And it will take time. Our whole life to grow in Christ and to become more and more like him. And it's a slow process and sometimes a hard process. And sometimes we need to break. We need to suffer a little bit so that we can change. And then when we get to the end of life, doesn't matter how much we've changed, whether we've conformed into his image or not conformed into his image, we die and then instantly we are in his image. When we see him, we shall be like him. Amen? That's our pre-conformation. determine destiny. The moment we receive Christ, he says, you will be like Christ, whether you like it or not. You'll be like him. Yeah? So why not learn to be like him now and live that life? He lived an amazing life. His short life was an amazing life. And if we live like him, we'll have an amazing life as well. I look on my life and I can honestly say that God has blessed my family and my life, and I believe, like, I'm 43 years old. I feel like I've lived two lives, you know, more than what other people would have lived in if they could double their lives. I've seen things, I've done things, I've seen God work, I've seen, you know, just how God can turn sorrow into joy, and how he can turn failures into successes. You know, I've seen all those things, and I still have more of life to go. I still consider myself still a spring chicken, still coming out. I'm still young. You know, that doesn't mean that I'll probably live till I'm older. We don't know. No one knows when the day will come, but we have to live our life. We have to live. You know, we weren't saved so that we could survive this world. We were saved so we could live it, live an abundant life in the world. And so it comes down to this one thing. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. So simple, yet somehow we make it complicated. Is that what he really meant? Did he really mean do it every bit? You know, surely he meant something else. He had to have meant something else. No? Because it's a little bit hard to do everything he says. No? It means everything he says, exactly what he says, do it. And if we would just surrender our will to him and say, Lord, you tell me what to do. You say it, I'll do it. You say it, I'll do it. Whatever it is. And just stop playing the games and stop, you know, trying to make deals with God, and stop trying to, you know, change things in the Bible and make them understand something some other way. Turn the Bible upside down and hopefully it means something else, you know. We just have to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm here. If you want me to fill water pots to the brim, I'll fill water pots to the brim. If you want me to draw it out to the governor, I'll draw it out to the governor. Whatever it is, doesn't matter what, I'll do it. May God help us to be obedient. Amen. To our Heavenly Father. Amen.